It is so good to see you here this morning. There were many who in the last week or so had been doing some traveling, it being part of the holiday weekend. We're glad to see that you are back and others who are visiting the area for a little while. Good to have you with us. You know, this is the time of year that many are rushing about and making choices about what to purchase to give as gifts to those that they love. And the merchants know this. And they know that folks will be purchasing gifts, and so they offer so many choices that the task becomes difficult. It's kind of like the kid in the candy store. You say, well, to the child, you can have a piece of candy. Well, he begins to contemplate, and the choices are so many that it becomes a difficult task. And we often focus on the difficulty of choice and fail to realize what a wonderful blessing that it truly is. You know, of all the gifts that God has bestowed upon His creation, the greatest are those that belong exclusively to man. You say, well, you know, He gave us the sunshine and the rain. Well, it rains on the just and the unjust. It rains on the animals and sun shines on the animals and everyone that exists and everything that exists is provided with those kind of blessings. But I'm talking about one of the blessings that belongs exclusively to man. And one of the greatest of these gifts is the power to choose. And so I want to talk this morning about the power of choice. You know, there are some things that we get to choose, and there are some things that we don't get to choose. And sometimes we wish we could choose the things that perhaps are not good for us. But where will we choose? Where would we put our focus? Our text this morning is found in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. It's a passage that's well recognized when it comes to choice. Joshua speaking to the children of Israel, having been with them throughout the journeys in the wilderness and about to enter the promised land. He says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This represents a choice. The choice that the Israelites had on that day and at that time and from that time, that they could make a choice and they had the power of choice. Although we seldom have much control over many of the things that happen to us, we can always choose and control our response. There were some who made admirable choices even in difficult circumstances, and time would not permit this morning for us to go into a long list of these. I want to mention just a few people. We talk about David, and we'll see more about David here as time goes on. But Nabal's wife, one who ultimately became David's wife because Nabal died. But if you read about him, you will find out in 1 Samuel chapter 25 that he was a wicked man. He was evil. And she did good. She chose to do good to those, to David and those that were with him. Joseph, and we'll talk more about Joseph here in a little bit. And also, who could forget Moses? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25, we see that even in the face of difficult circumstances, that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This tells us that each of us has the power of choice. You know, as we make choices, sometimes we have to bear the responsibility for those choices. Some made admirable choices in difficult circumstances. Others failed to make the proper choices. But then when they refused, when they made the improper choices, they refused to take responsibility for their choices. The first example that should jump to mind would be Adam and Eve. And if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, know that they always had a choice. God said that they could eat of all of the fruit of the trees throughout the garden, with the exception of those that were in the midst of the garden. And he specifically told them which one they were. And then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 11 through 13, following their partaking of that fruit which had been forbidden, we see, "And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat it. Why, he did the same thing that men are doing now. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. You see, Adam blames God, and Eve blames the serpent, and not much has changed, has it? When we have choices and we make choices, oftentimes when the consequences of the choices are made known to us, we begin to play the blame game. We begin to blame others for this. And we can see it down through time. We want to touch on a couple of these. What about Saul? Everybody remembers King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 15. Just previous to that, he'd been told to go and to wipe the Amalekites out. The young, the old, the male, the female, all of the animals, everything that they had, utterly destroy them. And he said, I'll go. And he went, and he took his army and his people, and he made war against the Amalekites. But we see in verse 15, and Saul said, 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 15, Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. You see, Samuel came and he says, have you done what God said to do? And he said, yes, I have. And he says, what is this sound I hear? Well, it's animals. And so Saul begins to blame the people. But Saul partially obeyed God and then blamed it upon the people. We see this in verse 21 of 1 Samuel. In chapter 15, he says, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of those things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. They thought, well, they reasoned among themselves and said, you know what? This is good stuff. We're going to take this stuff and we're going to offer it to God. That's not what God said do with it. He said, get rid of it, all of it. And Saul blamed the people. Well, let's look at King Ahab. We see in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 17 and 18, we know that Ahab was an evil king and he was against God. And we see in that particular reading, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, and we all know who Elijah is, he was a prophet of God, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Are you the one that's stirring things up within Israel? Look at his answer in verse 18. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Because of the troubles in Israel, the king wanted to blame it on someone else. The truth of the matter was that the choice was made by the king. The choice was made by the people because they had the power of choice, and they chose not to serve God. They chose to forsake the commandments of the Lord and follow Balaam. Something else we need to realize and understand is that in time our choices affect our condition. How many of us have made a choice and then after our situation has changed as a result of that choice, wish I'd have made a different choice? Wonder what Lot's wife thought just after she looked back. Turn with me. Genesis chapter 19, verses 23 beginning. We'll see that she had the power of choice. They were told when they were to depart, do not look back. But what happened? They looked. I found that because we have the power of choice, one of the surest ways of getting somebody to do something is tell them not to do it. Don't touch that. It's wet paint. There will be a fingerprint there. Guarantee it. But as you turn to Genesis 19, verse 23 beginning, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Remember, they had left. They had been taken out of the city, he and his wife and his daughters. And they were told to leave. And he overthrew those cities and verse 24, and the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. But, excuse me, his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I wonder, in that one instance, what did she think? Oops, I shouldn't have done this. Verse 27 says, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. If you remember correctly, Abraham said, for even 10 souls will you spare it? And he said, yes. But not 10 righteous souls could be found there. Verse 30 tells us, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with them. We're going to see that they too also had the power of choice. And we'll see what they did with their choice. It says in verse 30, the latter part of it, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the seed of our father. What we have here is these people conspiring, choosing to do something that was wrong. I've heard people say, well, when you read this, you see that they thought that the entirety of the earth was destroyed. That still doesn't mean go against God. We still have the choice to follow God and do his will. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in, and they lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve the seed of our father. And here we have the situation that man finds himself in oftentimes with a choice. Somebody does something, and they immediately say, we want somebody else to do it too. There's a very cute commercial on. I think it's a Geico commercial, and I don't know why they chose raccoons in a garbage can, but one of them eats something, and he says it tastes like mango and burnt hair, but he wants the other coons to eat it too. That's the way it is. You made a choice, and it was a bad choice, and ooh, it's nasty. Here, won't you try it? So this sister says to the other sister, hey, here's what I did. I want you to do the same. Verse 35 says, they made the father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. They had the power of choice. They used choice. And then you'll find the consequences. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and she called his name Ben-Ammi, and the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Read, if you will, and spend some time in the Old Testament, you'll find out that oftentimes the Moabites and the Ammonites are the ones who plagued Israel. Our choices affect our condition. We can look elsewhere. Genesis chapter 41, beginning in verse 37. We can see in the case of Pharaoh that sometimes our choices change our condition. Pharaoh in this particular situation was wise. He saw in Joseph something that was needed, something that would benefit his nation, and he also. The thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. What had happened is all of the wise men of Egypt could not tell him his dream. The dream that there was going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And then he said to Joseph, In verse 40, thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in the vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or his foot in all the land of Egypt. And it goes on to tell us what Pharaoh called Joseph. I was going to try to pronounce that name, but I don't think I'm going to. It's in the next verse. But he gave him a wife. And the latter part of verse 45 says, and Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And if we read that, we see that because of the power of choice that the Pharaoh had, that Egypt was not adversely affected by the famine. In fact, not only was Egypt saved because of the wisdom that God had given Joseph, but also Israel ultimately would be saved. All too often, I think our choices are made based upon that which we think we need to have. If we want to be happy, we need to learn to be content with that which God has blessed us with. We have this choice. We're always reaching for the brass ring, so to speak, to get more, to do more. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8, we see that the Spirit had the Apostle Paul write to Timothy, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content, or be therewith content. Why? Just as he would write in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, when he said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. In other words, he had all that was needed for life, and therefore his choices needed to be used for something more important, and that is for serving God, not getting more and gathering more and having more to be disposed of when we die. We can also choose our responses, but not the consequences for our responses. You know, we can't oftentimes choose the consequences for doing wrong. There are some things that we know are going to happen. It's established. It's part of the law. I was driving to work one time with my wife, talking to her, not paying attention to, quite frankly, where I was or how fast I was going. Right there where Dale Earnhardt's museum is, or whatever that is over there, a policeman pulled me over. Asked me if I knew how fast I was going. I said no. There were going to be consequences. I knew what they were. I had no idea how much it was going to cost me. I soon found out. But there were consequences. My response was, when he gave me the ticket and said, have a good day, my response was, and you too, sir. We can choose our responses, but we cannot often choose the consequences for doing wrong. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 13, this is what Cain was talking about when he said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Did you think about that when you rose up and killed your brother? In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17, we see the same thing relative to Esau, one who would lament the fact that he made the choice. You know, he comes in from the field, and he says, I'm starving to death. I say that regularly, and I have yet to be close to death from starving. But notice what the Hebrews letter says about him, the example that is given there for the response that he made, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. We say, okay, we know about that, but look at verse 17. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Listen, he made the choice. He had to pay the price. He's going to cry about it now. But no place was found for repentance. We see the same thing when it comes to the rich man in Luke chapter 16 and verse 25. One of the most important verses there is verse 25. We see the rich man who had fared sumptuously. He begins to complain about his circumstances following this. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted. and thou art tormented. Remember, our choices have consequences. We have the power of choice, but we have to pay the price for those choices. The ruler of the land, we're told in Romans chapter 13 and verse 4, is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. When you break the law, you have to pay the fine. You have to pay the price. That's because we find in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 what the price of sin is. We have the choice, sin or not sin. Sin or try not to sin. It says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, oftentimes we can't even choose the consequences for doing right. And we would like to think in every situation we're going to do what's right. We're going to do what's proper. Oh, if such and such happens to me, I'm going to stand strong. But sometimes we don't even know what the consequences are. You know, Joseph had been put in a position of power. He had free reign throughout Pharaoh's domain. But see, in Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 beginning, that Joseph did what was right, and the consequences were not good. We see, and it came to pass after those things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, my master's wife is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. And how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass that she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. We can see as we continue to read on that he was there in the house one day, and she found a way to make it look like he had done wrong. Now he had been right in his thinking, in his actions, in his fleeing when the situation got out of hand. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me. This is the accusation that was made. And he fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her. She had the evidence. Look here, I've got his clothes. And it came to pass, when the masters heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him after, or saying, after this manner did thy servant unto me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. He did right. He chose to do what was right. And evil befell him. We know also about the friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's interesting as you read in Daniel chapter 3 that these people had been given opportunity. They had been told, the proclamation had been made, when you hear all this music and all of these things that were going on, bow down to this image that I have created. And then in verse 16, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, when he had given them another chance, he says, I'm going to give you another choice. Here's another opportunity. He said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not afraid to answer thee in this matter, or not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They had been told, if you make the choice not to do this, we're going to throw you into the furnace. Well, they're doing good. They're doing right. They're serving God. But in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, we see that suffering as Christians is going to happen. Now, you can't tell me that being a Christian and doing God's will and striving to do what is right is not good. But sometimes the consequences are not so great. It says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. We can't blame our sins on someone else or expect another to bear the guilt. In Exodus chapter 32 and verse 33, we see the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, we see another passage. The first part of it needs to be addressed. It needs to be mentioned. It needs to be put forth from the pulpit. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And then it says, the Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteous of the righteousness shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. And because of that, we need to focus upon the things which are within our control, not the things that we have no power over, not the things that we have no control of. We have the power of choice, and we can choose. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, we'll see Jesus speaking to them and saying, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, the body more than raiment? And we're not saying that we shouldn't take care of some of the things of this life and the requirements of this life. But then we jump very quickly down to verse 33, and we'll see what point Jesus was making to them there. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And therein we have a choice. We find the things of this life, or we find the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and we have the power to choose. And then we look into the Philippian letter, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And we see the Apostle Paul, guided by the Spirit, writing to those brethren, telling them to be careful for nothing. Some renditions say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Listen, God knows what we need. He also knows the choices that are before us. We also ought to be aware of the fact that there is no benefit in worrying about others and what they will do. Oftentimes people say, well, so-and-so is good. Can all these people be wrong? Of course they can. If they're not following the Word of God, they're wrong. They're making the wrong choices. And if they make the wrong choices, they'll have to suffer the consequences. There was a situation even among the apostles that some even said that John was going to remain until Jesus came back. He didn't. But notice how Jesus addressed this. Jesus said to him, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Make your own choice. Don't worry about other people's situation. The Apostle Paul, knowing that some would leave him or some had left him, was guided by the Spirit in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, to write, nearing the end of his life, knowing that some had forsaken the cause of Christ, some had forsaken Paul and their friendship with him, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Friends, we needn't look out on our fellow man and saying, look at the choices they made, and because of their choices we're going to make this choice, unless we see the error of their ways and say, I'm going to make the choice to serve God and do his will. You know, we should always choose carefully in all matters of life, especially in religion. I'm told that some people take a piece of paper and they draw a line down the middle of it, and they put pros and cons relative to any major decision. And even though we've seen where people have been persecuted for serving God, if you're looking at your balance sheet, if you will, and you have a line down the middle and you have pros and cons, and the question at the top is whether or not I should be a Christian, there are no cons. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, Joshua had already made his choice. He was willing, whatever the consequences were, knowing that it was never wrong to do right. He made the choices. because some choices are made faster than we can think, we must train our minds. I think that's what these merchants do when they put all this stuff out there and all these choices and everything. They depend upon that which I refer to as impulse shopping. You went to the, and this happens to me every time I go to the grocery store. I go to the grocery store and I'm going to go get five items. I end up with a buggy full and a $100 bill. Not a $100 bill. They don't sell, they don't give those at the grocery store. They take them from you. But we need to train our minds when it comes to matters of religion, when it comes to matters of life. The psalmist said in Psalms 119, 111, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." He might very well have written, had the Spirit directed him to do so, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might make the right choices." Because when it comes down to it, sin is nothing more than a choice. A choice not to do what God has said to do. You know, there are some choices that we cannot make because God has already made them. And God's already chosen how a person can be saved, how the church would be governed, how the church is to reach out to the lost. Now, he didn't say use TV or use mass media or use this or use that. He said go and teach and preach. And it seems that a lot of people merely react to the ever-changing weather of life, and then they blame others for their misfortunes. The question then today is, will you make the choice to follow Jesus no matter what? If indeed that is your choice, you can only do it by choosing to follow Him in accordance to His Word. Here's how to start. You start by becoming a child of God. In order to do that, you're to hear the Word of God, Romans 10, 17, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8, 24, repenting of your sins, turning away from that life of sin, and turning to God, Acts 2, 38, confessing before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and being baptized into Christ. You have to make that start. Once you have done that, you have made a choice. And then you must choose to live faithful unto death. Oh, it's never going to be easy. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be times of trouble. But according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, that if we're entangled again in sin, having come out of it, then the latter end is worse with us than the beginning. If indeed that is our case, then we need to return to Him in repentance and prayer, just as Simon did. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. We're going to stand and we're going to sing the invitation song. Please, choose today. You have the power of choice. Choose to serve God and do His will. Make that choice as together we stand and sing the invitation song.